Hey everybody, Dr. Mary Crowley for Now Is the Time, and I have the second part of an incredible interview with Benjamin Thomas. He is a serial entrepreneur and also a best-selling author, and we're going to be talking today about the Book of Enoch, the Watchers, and the Fourth Beast. It's going to be a very interesting topic today, and you're going to want to please share this with as many people as you can. But before we do that, today's program is sponsored by the Root Brands, in particular, the Trinity Pack. Let's roll that commercial, please.
Hi, my name is Dr. Christina Rahm, and I am a scientist. But before I was a scientist, I was actually a psychologist. I learned a lot about neurotransmission. And then when I became a scientist, I started noticing and researching how people got sad, how people became angry, how they were stressed, how they were anxious, heavy metals in our environment, environmental stressors, as well as parasites, as well as fungus. All of these things add up to a world and environment that is toxic. You know, when you have heavy metals and nuclear waste in the land, air, and water, it doesn't even leave the stratosphere. In fact, a mother passes these on to her child in the stomach. So we have compounded this over time. That was one of the reasons that I created the Trinity, which was clean slate, to really eradicate things out of the body, restore, to help restore nutrients into the body, and zero in. Zero in was really one of my gifts as a psychologist and a scientist. There were certain ingredients like turmeric curcuma, aloe vera. There were certain things like L-theanine, L-arginine, that could really help people. There are a lot of ingredients, and I've worked with all of them. But I finally was able to work on a formula that I really think is the best that's out there. It's something that really helps the body because it supports the neurotransmission through natural ingredients. I wanted solutions for all the people that I had seen as a psychologist that had issues. Zero In was definitely my answer to that. I personally take one in the morning, and it's an adaptogenic, so it really adapts to different people, like personalized medicine. I hope you try it. It's something that goes along with the Trinity, or it's something you can take alone, but it is something that can help in numerous areas of your life.
Yeah, so you go to therootbrands.com, you put in my promo code, which is Now Is the Time. And there's, with the Trinity Pack, there's three different products. The Clean Slate, which is this dropper that actually is a zeolite formulation that you put a few drops under your tongue in the morning and at night, and it literally will pulls out the bad toxicity and the metals, heavy metals like graphene oxide, and will put in the trace minerals you need. A lot of people will pull out the with the zeolite, but then they don't put back the trace minerals you need, and it actually does more harm than good. So the Trinity Pack is Clean Slate, Restore, which helps your gut, and the Zero In, which works on dopamine levels. So go to rootbrands.com, put in Now Is the Time. You have to set up your own affiliate link. It's free, but then you can shop. I started with the Trinity Pack, and I ended up getting on the Root Prime, which is like Amazon Prime. It's free shipping after the first month. And the next month, I just went down to the Clean Slate. That's all I wanted, because I get this every month minimally. So it's a great product. It will really help you, and it will really help your family too. Benjamin, it's good to have you on today. How are you?
Great to be here, Mary.
Yeah, you know, you've become a friend, and this is the thing about working together. We're mobilizing a movement and mobilizing people, and we just got done having a big event up in San Francisco, and literally it was our seventh Open the Heavens, called Open the Heavens Keys to the Golden Gate, and there was a number of people on our team, because we put together a 24-hour prayer hub. And, we had a lot of the team that went into different places of San Francisco and prayed and literally did some of the things that we're going to talk about today on this call. But we did part one. It was over probably 3-4 weeks ago. We were going to try to do the next week, and then you know how life gets away from you. But let's kind of recap a little bit, Benjamin, about what happened in the first interview we did, your story.
Well, Mary, thanks for having me on, and I loved meeting your team in San Francisco. What a great great group, and you know, while you guys were bringing in the glory in San Francisco, they were taking out the trash, and so that was wonderful to watch, and just the eagerness and willingness of the group to just get out there and work for the Lord and do what He asked them to do. You know, as we discussed the first time we were on, is, you know, my background was business. I started several companies in New York City and Texas, and, you know, in travel and veterinary medicine. And, at one point I was a Wall Street trader in New York City. And so I've had a lot of experience, but it really is the last 3 or 4 years where the Lord's like, okay, look, you're trained in business, but I want to train you in what I'm doing right now in the world. And so, you know, my business background, really, I was known for being able to spot trends before anyone else and going into industries that and executing business plans and business ideas that were really not on anyone's radar. And so the Lord gave me a gift, I would say, of looking into the future and identifying trends and then, you know, making businesses and creating jobs out of that. And so when we talk about end times, you know, I wasn't satisfied, Mary, with what I'd been taught, you know, for 46 years of my life, 47 years of my life. I was in the evangelical church. And like many of us, I was just taught that, you know, the world's just going to blow up and get worse. And then one day we're going to be, you know, whisked out of here in a rapture event. And I found that unsatisfying, not only from a standpoint of just the ministry of our Lord while He was here, but also didn't explain, you know, a sense of hope I had for America and for the world, and just, you know, all the prayer that came together in 2020, and just seeing, you know, Christians mobilize and really pray for revival and repent over the land, you know, during, for instance, Jonathan Cahn's return in DC in 2020. That was such an incredible event. I think 40 something million people dialed in to participate in that remotely. And it just seems like—
And actually, I was at that event. I was actually in the front row covering it as a media journalist. So it wasn't it was an amazing event on the Mall in Washington.
It was. I was not in the front row. I was probably in the back row. But, you know, people were just expecting the Lord to move in a way that, you know, it was just really special. And so that led into, after the election was stolen in 2020, you know, me sitting on the tarmac in DC at the time I was in DC and just feeling a peace, like it was going to be okay. Even though it looked bad, the Lord had another plan. And that peace got me into the Word of God. I got very, very hungry to understand, what is your plan? What are you doing right now, Lord? I want to know. You always were faithful to share with your servants what your future plans were. And so that hunger and that fervor, really, I mean, I was just on my face in my study saying, Lord, show me the truth, was what led to, you know, my trilogy on end times called Revelation Riddle. And it was completely different than anything that I'd ever heard before. It was completely different than any teaching that was out there. But I really knew in my heart it was the truth. And that is what we were taught in Sunday school. God is just bigger. He's just bigger than anything we, you know, it says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so
your trilogy, you wrote a 3-part series called Revelation Riddle, and you're a published author, and it's done very well. Correct.
You know, it's absolutely done well. And it was one of those things where I really think a lot of people were in the same boat I was in, Mary, which is feeling hope, feeling excitement, but then not able to really connect in their mind where the eschatology I was brought up on, that doesn't seem to align with the hope and expectation that I have. And so I think people were trying to connect the dots with, well, what's going on? I was taught that we're just supposed to relinquish this world to Satan and get out of here, you know, And yet people were feeling in their heart something different, you know, maybe a call to go do something. Like you have a call to put together some amazing movie productions. And, you know, I know that groups like TBN had, you know, we're building for the future. And they finally said, you know, we can't have it both ways. We can't be teaching that we're just going to give this world to Satan and get out of here and be investing in the future, you know, new studios and just new works. And so I think a lot of people are struggling with that tension. And so the Revelation Riddle trilogy really, I hope, answers a lot of questions, because his plan is in every book of the Bible.
Well, and so, Jonathan, just to recap from the first show that we did, which many of you should go back and watch that, what God started having you do certain things. Why don't we just, because I want to get into the new part of what we're going to be talking about. So briefly just describe what happened, where God was having you go around certain structures in DC and different parts of the country and doing something that he told you to do to deport these demonic entities.
Well, you know, after I wrote my third book, which is called Glory of Eden, in that book, I discovered something, which is at the end of the age, according to the book of Enoch, it is time for the demon gods and evil spirits, you know, the descendants and the offspring of the watchers, to go away and no longer afflict humanity. And so, I knew the timing was there. I had studied that it was time for them to go. And then what I didn't know at the time, before I finished my third book, was we're supposed to be the ones to send them off the earth in the name of Yeshua. And so in that revelation, at first, you know, for me, it was like, oh, it's good to know that. And then it seems like the ink wasn't even dry in my third book. And the Lord said, go. Now it's time to go and be obedient to what I've shown you. And so I started at the Washington Monument, was led to march around the Washington Monument counterclockwise, like reversing the damage done by the demon gods and evil spirits in our country, and command them in the name of Yeshua to go and remind them that they'd already been judged in the court of heaven and it was time to go. And so that led to, you know, many, many, many other places in not only all over DC. I think the Lord sent me to every embassy in DC, and there's 185. I didn't realize there were that many, but 185 embassies in DC, the DOJ, the FBI, you know, the CIA, the NSA, the White House, the Capitol, all the office buildings for the Senate and for Congress. And, you know, the Smithsonian, I mean, the list goes on and on. The Lord would just give me places in the morning and say, go here, go there. And then,
and you were living in DC at the time, correct?
I was living there, and I had, you know, I had a fair amount of authority there, because not only was I living there for almost 7 years, but, you know, we'd entertained a lot of people. We knew a lot of people, and, you know, that's where my sons were going to school. And so I think the Lord had me there for a reason, and that was to do this work. And then I'd lived in a lot of places. And so, Mary, the Lord showed me to go to every place you have roots. You know, so that was New York City, that was Silicon Valley, that was New Orleans, that was Texas. It was a lot of places. And so, and then other people started to join the effort and take care of, you know, Ottawa, Canada, and Dallas, Texas, and San Antonio, and, you know, just a lot of different places. And so it was exciting, because we began to see the fruit a few months later. We began to see something change and something shift. And that was this, the cover and the secrecy and the darkness lifted over these organizations. And, you know, I mean, a good example was USAID. I was able to be used of the Lord to pray over USAID in, I think, about August of 2024. And, you know, come January, February of 2025, it was gone. They were removing the sign, and all of the, you know, funny money that had been running through there was exposed. you know, that hadn't happened in our whole lifetime. I mean, that organization had been going and was sort of like the secret financing of the left for our whole life, Mary.
Well, it was their slush fund. And I remember when you saw Chuck Schumer and Maxine Waters and all these ones that were outside the door and they were crying and almost like they were saying, they can't do this. It was like funds were drying up. It was hilarious.
Well, and that was the money, you know, remember years ago, we'd be in these, you know, Patriot meetings and we're like, where are they getting their money? Remember those conversations where they're like, we're outspent 100 to 1 and we're like, where is it coming from? And then we started to find out where it was coming from. Right. And so that was just all, I had no idea when I started this, Mary, that the ripple effect, just a little simple act of obedience would have. And, you know, I give credit to a lot of other people. I mean, your team took care of San Francisco and, you know, deported demons from San Francisco, you know, during your conference there a few weeks ago. And literally, you know, next day or two, you know, Nancy Pelosi announced that she's resigning from Congress and, you know, things started to shift. And so, you know, we always have had, I think it's a very religious idea that, you know, God's just going to do it all, right? He's just going to wave a magic wand and clean up our world and blah, blah, blah. When in fact, he wants us involved with the work. We're the ones that gave our authority away in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden. And so we have a role to play to take it back and tell these demons and demon gods and evil spirits, it's your time is up. Get out of here. And not only that, but you know, the Lord's led you to bring the open up portals and bring the glory in. And those are very specific assignments that the Lord is giving his body right now. And it's very much get involved with obedience and just do what the Lord tells you. And it's
You know, just to interject, you know, Jesus only did what he heard the Father say. And on the first part, you know, of this interview, you talked about the constellation in 2017 that was in the heavenly realm. And there was now at that time. So go into a little bit about that, because some people are going, well, this isn't biblical. You know, there's 66 book of the Bible. But as we've discussed on other shows, even on my Hollywood Zoom call that you were on last night, that, you know, that for years, I mean, there's how many books in the Bible that have been taken out to this date? There's still like, what were you talking about? The in some of the churches to this date, they have Bibles that have how many books are in those particular Bibles?
Well, look, I think a lot of the missing pieces were in the books that were very recently removed from the, I would call it the American evangelical canon, because the reality is I was at NRB a couple of years ago and there was a Bible salesman, you know, sitting there at a booth. And I said, show me the Bibles that are being sold around the world. And he showed me the Bibles being sold in Africa and, you know, Europe and all that. They had a lot more books than ours had. And I said, well, what's going on? And he started explaining, you know, like, for instance, some of it was cost cutting, you know, in the war of 1812, we were getting Bibles up to that point from Holland and Britain. And those trade routes were cut off. And so, you know, printers in the United States were printing, you know, their own Bibles for the first time. And it was just a cost cutting technique for a lot of them, just to leave a few of the books out. It just costs less money to print it. And so he started explaining some of these moves that happened along the way. And I'm like, that is ridiculous. Like, I want all God's word. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want some MBA making a cost cutting decision and keeping me from some book of the Bible that I need to understand. And so, but when you talk about why we can deport demons today, it really, again, it came back to really the Book of Enoch explaining that the time these demons would be sent from earth would be at the end of the age. And so then you start saying, well, when is the end of the age, right? I mean, it's like, okay, it's crystal clear that yes, at the end of the age, these demons would be sent off. You know, the demon gods would go to the fifth heaven. The evil spirits would go to the second heaven. They would begin to wither, actually, it's funny. I was reading Isaiah today and it talked about even, it says, all their mighty hosts will wither as leaves fall from a withered vine or fruit from a withered fig tree. So this word wither was actually in the book of Enoch, that they'd be in this prison and they just would begin to wither. And so, you know, you think about, you know, what is required of these demon gods and evil spirits by man? It's the blood of children, right? And so that's dried up. They're not being invigorated with all this horrible, innocent blood that they require today. And they're stuck in this prison and they're just withering like I just picture like a grape, you know, it starts as a big juicy grape and then it just withers down to a raisin. So I just started seeing this vision of these demon gods and evil spirits having to wait it out for the next 2,000 years and wait for their final judgment. But back to why now, right? That's the big question. As you know, Mary, you've been around the church circles, frankly, a lot more than I have over the last decades. And you've seen people go out and you've seen them try to, you know, have righteous indignation and try to clean up their neighborhoods of these principalities and ancient ones. And you've seen a lot of people get hurt. And there were books written. I think there was a book written called Unnecessary.
It was called, yeah, Unnecessary Casualties of War by John Paul Jackson, who was a prophet of God, very accurate. But he would see some of these intercessors and people at churches that would go after high-level principalities and regions and then really get beat up. And so it makes sense that at that time, you know, he said, really don't do that. And so now what you're saying is because of what happened, talk about what happened in 2017 with the signs in the heavenlies, go into what happened there and why you believe now we've entered into the beginning of the new kingdom age.
Well, 2017 was a very important year in the with a sign in the heavens. And I think one of the reasons the Lord gives us signs in the heavens is because our calendar's so screwed up. You know, I mean, it went from Julian to Gregorian, and then, you know, you've got the quote Jewish calendar floating around saying it's 5785. And there's a lot of confusion around the calendar. So I think one of the reasons the Lord gives signs in the stars is to cut through all that, right? When Yeshua was born, there was a sign in the stars. You know, when he was crucified, there were signs in the heavens. And so he gave us a sign that it was close to the end of the age in 2017 when Virgo and Leo and the sun and the moon and, you know, four other, we call them planets, but they're really traveling stars, came into alignment and formed a woman with a crown of 12 stars, the sun at her shoulder and the moon at her feet, and pregnant with a baby. And so in the beginning of that year, the church knew that was coming. They went wild and everybody thought it was going to be the rapture. And that date was September 23rd, 2017. Well, September 23rd, 2017 came and went, no rapture, right? And so people were just, you know, everybody, you know, how the church is when everybody picks a date, they just kind of put their slides away and don't talk about it very much anymore. But I revisited that and I said, Lord, what were you doing on that date? Obviously, that was very significant. Obviously, a lot of the prophetic voices picked up on that was important. What was that? And he showed me that was the fulfillment of Daniel 7:26, which said the court would convene in the court of heaven and the fourth beast would be judged. And then the fourth beast would begin to die slowly and then have a sudden death. And then his body would be burned with fire. And so that conversation and that event happened on that day. And then what else happened after that date is the Great Awakening started. If you remember 2017 going into 2018 and then COVID in 2019, people started to wake up by the billions worldwide to the evil in the world. And it just was an awakening that I saw that as a natural kind of confirmation of what the Lord had done in 2017. he was saying, hey, the new age, the next age is being birthed. And he was very clear that it wouldn't be instant pudding. It would be a slow death, you know, a slow death followed by a sudden death. And so that when that court convened in the court of heaven in 2017 was why we have authority now for the first time in 6,000 years to send the demon gods and evil spirits away, because they've already been judged. And our job is just to deport them. And that's what the Bible said we could do, not only in the book of Enoch, but it's in, you know, it's in Matthew. It's a lot of verses about, you know, messengers removing evil at the end of the age. And so here we are at the end of the age. We had kind of the bell rung, if you will, back in 2017. But then you go further than that, and you have things like, you know, Kim Clement starting to prophesy even before 2017, declaring the trump, or the trumpet, right? And I began to see, even in the book of Isaiah, Kim Clement in the book of Isaiah being the voice on the lonely hill, announcing, blowing the shofar and announcing the trumpet. And so we started to get not just a sign in 2017 and the stars, but even before that, God's messengers were prophesying, blowing the shofar, announcing the trumpet. And so this progression in this timeline of the end of the age, which is just all over the scripture, Mary, it's everywhere, was starting to get fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the authority that we have now. And we, you know, the demons all knew there'd come a day when they couldn't torment people anymore. They'd have to go. In fact, they acknowledged that in the garden in Gadarene, when the demon said to Yeshua, have you come to torment us before our time, right? They knew that a time would come when they could no longer torment us and they would have to go. But even at that time, Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, the, you know, our Savior, did not have the authority to send them away at that time off the earth, because it wasn't their time.
Yeah, well, and even just to interject, remember when Jesus was fasting for the 40 days and Satan came to him and tempted him and said, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world if you'll bow down to me. Jesus didn't negate the fact that Satan had the power to do that.
Well, you know, he also, I mean, he didn't say you're a liar. He acknowledged that Satan was saying the truth, but right. Don't forget, it wasn't forever, you know. A lot of people say, oh, Satan is the god of this world. No, that's not true. He is the god of the old age, right? He is the ruler of the old age. And there's a big difference in scripture between world and age. You know, world is where we live. I mean, world is a place. It's earth. It's where we live. Age is a time frame. And you know, once you start, you know, parsing the difference between world and age, it really helps you in the study of the scripture. Because, like, for instance, in Matthew 24, when the disciples said, tell us, Lord, what are the signs of the end of the age? They didn't say world, even though I believe it's King James says, Lord, tell us the signs of the end of the world. You know, we think of end of the world, we think of, you know, zombies walking the streets and nuclear holocaust and all this other stuff. They weren't asking him when the world would blow up. They were asking him when the age would end. What are the signs of the end of the age? And he started talking about birth pains. And, you know, and then the sign in the heavens in 2017 was a woman giving birth, right? A baby in her belly about to give birth. And so, you know, it's like this giving birth to the next age is happening right now. And we're going through a lot of birth pains. And a lot of us, it's impacting a lot of us in a very personal way, because we're all feeling the pressure of, you know, whether it's shedding old sins or unforgiveness, or it's like the Lord is just refining his body right now, just refining and refining and refining. And he's cutting us off from the old Babylonian system. And
well, it says that too, you know, the kingdoms of this world will now become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's get into the book of Enoch, you know, what we're going to talk about. You know, we're going to talk about the fourth beast And, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, the Antichrist, you know, has got to come on the throne and he's going to deceive everyone. That will happen at some point, correct? But what we're going to see right now is that we're going to see a great harvest, a great awakening. And that's what God has shown me, that half the world is actually, I believe, of the 8 billion people, 4 billion people, I believe, are going to really get set free and redeemed and restored by Yeshua or Jesus. So we're here for the harvest, the end time.
Amen. Amen.
So let's go into a little bit about the book of Enoch and what that says and what the fourth beast is, and a little bit coming into this new kingdom age, what that means for this time, Benjamin.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the book of Enoch is probably, Mary, one of the most popular books in the world right now. I mean, there's so much appetite to study the book of Enoch. And, you know, it reminds me a little bit of that scripture in Daniel that says, seal the book until the end, right? Seal this book so people, you know, as it gets closer to fulfillment, then people will be hungry and then knowledge will explode. Well, Enoch is a little bit like that, in that it wasn't time for us to get into Enoch, because even in the very beginning of Enoch, he says, this is not for your generation. This is for a future generation that will live through and see the things that I'm going to outline in this book. And so the book of Enoch is for now, number one. And the book of Enoch describes the end of the old age and the beginning of the next age. And it says the tribulation for the righteous will end and the tribulation for the wicked will begin. So there's a divine reversal in the book of Enoch that talks about a tribulation of the wicked. And so for the last 6,000 years, you know, Satan, you know, gave his followers, you know, wealth and prosperity and all sorts of things. Of course, he charged a very, very bitter price for that, and they weren't happy, but he did make good on some promises for wealth and fame and certain things for his folks. Those tricks of the trade won't work anymore in the next age. It'll be a reversal. Yahweh's people will be mightily blessed. The wicked will not, you know, not be blessed at all. It'll be a tribulation of the wicked. It'll be a reversal.
Well, in fact, you told me that, just to interject, you know, that Hollywood, and I live in LA, that we're going to see the greatest movies, the greatest music for the greatest show on earth. And that these, you know, people in Hollywood, many of them, as you know, Benjamin, that a lot of these people don't get to these levels of fame unless they bow. They bow to the demonic realm. And a lot of it has to do with blood and sacrifice. And, you know, oftentimes people will say, oh, I don't believe there's people this evil, but they don't really understand the Luciferian and the satanic realm that you said earlier that needs the blood of the innocents.
Well, look, we learned, you know, the phrase sell my soul. We learned that from Hollywood. I mean, you know, nobody was really talking about other than the folks from Hollywood that said, oh, yeah, you know, these stars would come out and say, yeah, I sold my soul, you know, on a certain date and blah, blah, blah. And you know, if you're in that boat and you feel like you have sold your soul, I will tell you it's not too late. The Lord Yeshua loves you. You can still come back and reverse all that. Okay. Satan is not more powerful than Yahweh. So, but, you know, Enoch is a very, very wonderful book because it explains how these watchers and evil spirits came to be. It explains the deals they made with men.
Now, is a watcher, explain what a watcher is, because you don't really hear about a watcher in the New Testament. Is that like a demonic entity? What is a watcher?
Well, the book of Enoch deals with two distinct classes, you know, of spirits, if you will. And one of the first class and the most senior class, if you will, were the watchers. And so the watchers were sons of God that came down to earth and mated with women and had children. And those children were called the Nephilim or the giants. And so the watchers were their dads, if you will, their parent, you know, the parents of these giants were a watcher, which was a son of God, and a woman. And so these children, these Nephilim and these giants, were hybrids. They were half the Son of God and half man. And so they were, you know, against the divine order of creation. But also the Watchers, they brought with them special knowledge, you know, chemistry and, you know, hybridization of plants and animals and making weapons and, you know, all sorts of, you know, knowledge of smiting in the womb, you know, abortion. That knowledge came from these Watchers, because once they rebelled against the Lord, they used their knowledge to hurt us, because they knew one day, you know, the biggest thing that we learn in one of the big things we learn in Enoch is when these Watchers did not receive any mercy from Yahweh, they made a decision at that point, we're going to go after man, because man does have mercy. You know, man is going, there's a redemption, a plan of redemption for men, but not for us. And so because of that, they hated us ever since. And they used all of their wicked technology and knowledge, and they cut deals with willing men and women and said, look, we'll give you technology, but you give us the blood of the innocent in return. And so that was the deal that was made even back then. But when the Watchers basically had children, those children, you know, were these giant creatures that...
And Goliath, you would look at Goliath, who David, you know, slew, was one of the byproducts of one of the Watchers. Is that correct?
Yeah, certainly the really, really tall ones. You know, there's a difference between tall and giant. You know, Adam was a very tall man, but he wasn't a giant, you know, so to speak. And so these hybrid offspring that the Bible says were very, very tall, were also very vicious. And it got to where before the flood, we learn in the book of Enoch that it got so bad that the whole earth was running out of food and they were eating people. And so they developed a thirst for men's blood. And so, but when the flood happened and, you know, the giants either fought each other and died or they were drowned by the flood, the Bible says that their spirits lived on. And those spirits, it said, were evil spirits. And so these spirits that came from these hybrid part, you know, sons of God, part woman. And so they were kind of half men spirits, but they'd committed rebellion and there was no plan of redemption for them. Those are the spirits that we deal with today and we call demons. And so the book of Enoch gives us so many wonderful clues as to how they came into being, why they hate us, you know, what it is that they, you know, how they rule. And so if you think about today, you know, we didn't hear a whole lot about demons in the Old Testament until Yeshua came along in the New Testament and started to teach us and train us about demons. And so did Paul and Peter, because they had authority over them. And so in the book of Ephesians, Paul tells us that we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, rulers of this dark age, demon gods and evil spirits. He mentions them, those two classes, by name in Ephesians 6. And so if you read the book of Enoch, those are the two classes that at the end of the age we could deport, you know, from earth. And so that's been the focus for me and the team, is to get rid of those two classes of evil spirits. Now, the power of the demon god is different than the power of the evil spirit. And so you think about the evil spirit, you know, you think about demonic possession, whereas their parents, their dads, if you will, they were able to cast veils over whole areas, whole regions. I'm sure there's a demon god over, for instance, every false religion. So you can imagine, like, let's say Buddhism, right? There's a demon god sitting at the top of that religion that is trying to deceive everybody underneath, and he's a principality. He's over that false religion. And so the Bible talks about demon gods over what we call the fourth beast, which is really the beast we're dealing with today. That's the beast we've been fighting for our whole life, is not the Antichrist. It was really the beast before the Antichrist, which is the fourth beast. And so I think a lot of the confusion, myself included, by the way, we were taught our whole life about the Antichrist, but we were taught almost nothing about the fourth beast, when in fact it was the fourth beast that we've been up against our whole Christian adult life, and obviously the demons as well. But as far as this new world order, and as far as the city states of the Vatican and the, you know, DC and the city of London and that whole structure and that whole apparatus, that is not the Antichrist. That's actually the Rome rooted fourth beast system that in fact Yeshua was dealing with when he was in his ministry on the earth. It was the beginning of it then. It was Rome. I think when he came on the scene, Rome had been in place for, you know, for a little bit, but you know, that's really the system that never died and was never judged, and what we've had to deal with our whole adult life.
So now it's this fourth beast. When will the Antichrist then come on the scene?
Well, Revelation 13 talks about the difference between the fourth beast and the Antichrist. You know, Revelation 13 starts with a description of a beast with, you know, 10 horns and 7 heads that comes out of the sea. Okay, that's the fourth beast. That's what the Lord showed Daniel. And then a few verses down, it talks about the death of that beast. And then it says, then another beast will come, not from the sea, but from the earth, and he'll only have 2 horns. Okay, so the fourth beast has 10 heads and 7 horns, or I'm sorry, maybe it's the other way around, 10 horns, 7 heads, comes out of the sea. The next beast has 2 horns, comes out of the earth. Those are 2 different beasts. The Antichrist is the one with the 2 horns coming out of the earth, and that is in the future. In fact, Revelation 13 is very clear. The fourth beast dies, and then the fifth beast, or the Antichrist, comes along later and resurrects the image of the fourth beast and causes the world to worship that image. And so those are 2 different beasts. I believe in the Bible, he only rules for a handful of years. And meanwhile, the fourth beast, who we've been dealing with, ruled for 2,000 plus years. I mean, a very, very wicked ruler that ruled for a very long time. And really, you know, the Bible says that death and hell followed this fourth beast, took on different forms over the last 2,000 years, but has never been judged until now. And so we're starting to see the death of it. You know, we're starting to feel the death of Babylon, if you will. And I think that's exciting because, you know, right now it's such an interesting time. I mean, Disney World's empty. The movie theaters are empty. You know, cars aren't selling.
Disney World is empty?
I mean, the attendance is way down, at not only Disney World, but movies and secular entertainment. It's like we're seeing this death, if you will, of Babylon.
In Hollywood, we'll even tell you that a lot of the studios are empty. There are movies that they're producing. I mean, this is normally the time of year, Benjamin, where you have the blockbusters and the great movies that used to be at the theaters. And it's like, you look at the, you know, for these movies, you're like, I don't want to see any of them.
It's the death of Babylon. You're actually, we're watching it die. You know, we were promised in Revelation 18 that it would die, right? That this, you know, Babylonian trifectus of the, you know, the fourth beast, the little horn, the whore. Revelation 18 just says Babylon, modern day Babylon. That's kind of the catch-all term for this fourth beast, little horn, whore. Babylon dies in a single day and a single hour, which is consistent with Daniel that says when the Lord judges the fourth beast, he'll die slowly at first and then suddenly, right? And so we're seeing,
you know, after the death of this fourth beast, which is more of a system, it's not really an entity, it's more of a ruling system. Would you say, would that's how you articulate it?
It's a ruling system, but it has a very specific demon god at the top called Leviathan. You know, the little horn has a very specific demon god called Behemoth, the god of chaos. And of course, we've heard about the Whore of Babylon. Those three demon gods work together. Then you have three city states. It's sort of like this system, if you will, of demonic entities, you know, very militant states combined with, you know, a satanic ruler that seeks death and destruction. I mean, look what happened during COVID. I mean, you want to see what it looks like. COVID was a great example. Here it was. Every government around the world was rolling out the exact same protocol at the exact same time. We then learn later that the vaccine is full of death and destruction and nasty stuff and hurts people. And yet every government of the world was trying to jam that on the people. And so that was a display of power of the fourth beast system. It's very powerful just because it's, you know, a system and not, a king like Nebuchadnezzar or one of those.
Right.
Very, very powerful system.
And it talks about what's coming to my mind, Benjamin, and they believed the lie. And that's why they call it the mainstream lying media. You know, like Trump would say, fake news. The enemy had control of the seven mountains, the mountain of arts and entertainment and media, where he was able to perpetrate this lie. And that's why in 2020, Benjamin, God spoke to me and he said, COVID-19 is Christ overcoming victory in disease, Psalm 19. God always flips it over because we're going to see that God is going to literally for this next age or season that we are going to see the harvest and take back these mountains of influence that the enemy has taken and controlled for so long. So as we come to a close, you know, we're going to do, I feel the Lord saying, you got to do another show. The third show is going to be all about the kingdom age and what we can expect that is going to happen in this next kingdom age, where what he told me, as I mentioned earlier, everyone, is that it will be the greatest show on earth. And God is going to roll out the red carpet and it will be the dawning of a new age. And God is going to turn the page and it will be, he's going to take center stage and he's going to pay your wage. He's going to pay us back for everything that the enemy did attack. See, now he's getting into a rhyme. It's a sign. But, you know, as we close out today, Benjamin, what final thoughts do you have to clarify any? Because this is a new mindset. People, we have to test these things. But let me tell you this. Many times people, you know, like you said, we all, there are 66 books of the Bible. I hadn't really studied that. I didn't know that a lot of these other Bibles around the world had many more chapters. Many more books. And that's why it says that, the enemy deceives. And it says that we would be deceived. And that's why God is waking us up. So closing thoughts before we end the show today, Benjamin.
Well, look, we live in the best time to be alive. And we are in the privileged generation that not only gets to see the end of the old age, but we get to see and participate in the next age, which is the kingdom age of the saints. And it is a wonderful, wonderful privilege to be alive in this generation. You know, Yeshua talked about a generation that would not taste death. And he's talking about physical death. And I believe we're in that generation, Mary, because one of the things that's promised in the kingdom age is that we will eat of the tree of life. And so you think about longevity. You think about ruling and reigning over the world and the seven mountains. We're going to move into the most exciting time to be alive, but it's also the time when Satan's forces are the most frantic. They're sensing that it's getting ripped away from them, and they're mad as a hornet, right? And so what we have to do is just recognize that class, that cabal class, is going extinct. Their days on this earth are very, very much numbered and very, very short. And so we have to see ourselves as we're coming into our own. We're coming into those callings that the Lord's been giving us our whole life. They, those partnered with darkness, are going to fade off into the sunset and disappear. And so we have to look at that and remind ourselves, because this is a tough time, Mary, for a lot of people right now. And we just have to remind ourselves of their future, and then also dig into the scriptures and say, Lord, show me what, you know, where all this is in the Bible. And also, what is my role? Because if we're going to be ruling and reigning, it's going to be people listening to this program that are part of that. It's going to be you. It's going to be me. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be the people that Jesus said, those that are least important now will be most important then, right? Those that are most important now will be least important then. It's back to that reversal. And so you could be a stay-at-home mom and barely making it, but obedient to what the Lord tells you every single time, and just end up being a major player in the kingdom age, because that's the way the Lord designed it. He designed it for not the wise of this world to inherit the kingdom, but the foolish in this world. Right.
Well, look at what he did. He took mostly unlearned, you know, fishermen to literally, he was born in a stable. I mean, he came to this earth. Yeah. And he was here to really redeem and restore mankind. And so, Benjamin, where can people find, what is your website?
You know, Mary, people can get on revelationriddle.com. And there I have some, you know, links to my podcasts and some teaching. I think I have about 75 or so podcasts on Rumble and BitChute. And then links to where to find the books. And then some teaching on how to get involved with deporting demons in your neighborhood, you know, in your school district, in your city, in your community, how you as a layperson can get involved and clean up the trash, take out the trash in your neighborhood. And so I'm very, very passionate about that. I feel like now's the time for all of us to have a role in that. And so you can download a, you know, the 2-page handout on how to do that. And then a little training video on that. And, but yeah, feel free to stop by and, you know, it's been a pleasure to be on with you today.
Well, thank you, Benjamin, for coming on, and thanks for watching. Now is the time. And I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit leads and directs and guides you. He doesn't push. So, you know, just pray. I know everything that he has me do, like he woke me up May 2nd, 2020, and he said these words, "We won't shut up until you open up. Open the heavens." He told me to do 7 baptisms along the Western seaboard. And then he had me do these open the heavens in various parts of the country. And the next one we're going to be doing is going to be in Las Vegas next year. But, you know, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you. If some of the things you've heard Benjamin discuss today don't make sense, just put it on the shelf. You don't have to trash him and say, oh, he's a false prophet. He's not of God. Well, no, just put it on the shelf. I remember Paul Youngie Cho, who is had the church in Korea, the largest church at one time in the world, Prayer Mountain. And he said that the Lord said, just eat the flesh and spit off the bones. Take the bones that you don't understand and just set them aside. But let me tell you this, that God is opening our eyes. And for many years, everybody was just waiting for a rapture to come. And so because of that, they oftentimes didn't do anything. They go, it's getting bad. We just have to get out of here. But God said, go and make disciples out of all nations. What we really need to do is go and build people and make disciples and, you know, train them, teach them, equip them to go and bring other people to Christ, disciple them, get them in the word. I mean, these are the things that we need to do. But as Benjamin was saying earlier, we're not wrestling against human beings. We're in a spiritual battle. And there comes a point now that we have the authority to say, no, not on our watch. You have to go. It's the Lord's. This is God's time, for the kingdoms of this world will now become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So thanks for watching today. Please, you can also visit my website, marycrowley.com. I have some different merchandise, in particular, a book, my book called From Glory to Glory. It talks a lot about the different things God has had me do, including the youth wave, working with the youth, the movie about the prodigal, sharing the testimonies and the stories that God has called me to do, including to build a studio to rival Disney called Destiny. And so let's just be about our Father's business and take action, as they say in Hollywood, lights, camera, action. It's time to move. We can't sit around and wait for people to do it. We have to move. So please, you can do one thing. You can follow, you can subscribe, you can like, and you can make comments below, because it does change the algorithms. And you can also share this with 5 people and get people's discussion. It makes people think, huh, that's an interesting way of thinking. Read the book of Enoch. I know my friend Johnny Enlow, who's often on Elijah's streams, talks about the book of Enoch. And so we just really need to study to show ourselves approved. So God bless you all. Thanks for watching. Hope to see you next. We're going to do another 3-part show. The Holy Spirit said, do another one, but have this time be what the kingdom age is going to be. And some of the things that I believe that we're going to see in this coming of age for our coming out party. So God bless you. Thank you, Benjamin, for coming on. Thanks for watching. We'll see you soon. God bless.
Thank you.